The Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority. The PMCPA was established by the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry, ABPI, in 1993 to operate the Code of Practice for the pharmaceutical industry independently of the association itself. The Code 2016 consists of 29 sections, summarised as follows. 1. Scope of code and definition of certain terms. 2. Discredit to and reduction of confidence in the industry. 3. Marketing authorization. 4. Prescribing information and other obligatory information. 5. Abbreviated advertisements. 6. Journal advertising. 7. Information, claims and comparisons. 8. Disparaging references. 9. High standards, format, suitability and causing offence, sponsorship. 10. Provision of reprints and the use of quotations. 11. Distribution of material. 12. Disguised promotion. 13. Clinical trials and non-interventional studies of marketed medicines. 14. Certification. 15. Representatives. 16. Training. 17. Provision of medicines and samples. 18. Prohibition of inducements and inappropriate payments. The provision of items for patients, health professionals and other relevant decision makers. Agreements to benefit patients such as outcome agreements and patient access schemes. 19. Medical and educational goods and services. 20. Joint working. 21. Relationships and contracts with certain organisations. 22. Meetings, hospitality and sponsorship. 23. The use of consultants. 24. Transfers of value to health professionals and healthcare organisations. 25. Scientific services. 26. Relations with the public and the media. 27. Relationships with patient organisations. 28. The Internet. 29. Compliance with undertakings. Code of Practice for the Pharmaceutical Industry 2016, the ABPI. Clause 1. Scope of the code and definition of certain terms. 1.1. The code applies to the promotion of medicines to members of the United Kingdom health professions and other relevant decision makers. The code also applies to a number of areas which are non-promotional, including information made available to the public about prescription-only medicines. It does not apply to promotion of over-the-counter medicine to members of the health professions when the object of that promotion is to encourage their purchase by members of the public. The term promotion means any activity undertaken by the pharmaceutical industry or with its authority which promotes the administration, consumption, prescription, purchase, recommendation, sale, supply or use of its medicines. It includes journal and direct mail advertising, the activities of representatives, including any electronic or printed material by them, the supply of samples, the provision of inducements to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell medicines, by the gift, offer or promise of any benefit or bonus, whether it in money or in kind, the provision of hospitality for promotional purposes, the sponsorship of promotional meetings, the sponsorship of scientific meetings, including payment of travelling and accommodation expenses in connection therewith. All other promotion in whatever form, such as participation in exhibitions, the use of audio or video recordings in any format, broadcast media, non-print media, the internet, interactive data systems and social media and the like. It does not include replies made in response to individual inquiries from members of health professionals or other relevant decision makers in response to specific communications from them whether an inquiry or comment, including letters published in professional journals, but only if it relates solely to the subject matter of the letter or inquiry, are accurate and do not mislead and are not promotional in nature. Factual, accurate, informative announcements and reference material concerning licensed medicines and relating, for example, to pack changes, adverse reaction warnings, trade catalogues and price lists, provided they include no product claims. Price lists relating to unlicensed medicines, provided they include no product claims and they make clear that the products are unlicensed. Information supplied by pharmaceutical companies to national public organisations such as NICE, the All Wales Medicines Strategy Group and the Scottish Medicines Consortium is exempt from the code, provided the information is factual, accurate and not misleading. Measures or trade practice relating to prices, margins or discounts which were regularly in use Summaries of product characteristics are not included. European public assessment reports, UK public assessment reports, the labelling of medicines and accompanying package leaflets insofar as they are not promotional for the medicines concerned. The contents of labels and package leaflets are covered by regulations. Information relating to human health or diseases, provided there is no reference, either direct or indirect, to specific medicines. The term medicine means any branded or unbranded medicine intended for its use in humans which requires marketing authorisation. The term health professional includes members of the medical, dental, pharmacy and nursing professions and any other persons who, in the course of their professional activities, may administer, prescribe, purchase, recommend or supply a medicine. The term other relevant decision makers particularly includes those with an NHS role who could influence in any way the administration, consumption, prescription, purchase, recommendation, sale, supply or use of any medicine, but who is not a health professional. The term over-the-counter medicine means those medicines or particular packs of medicines which are primarily advertised to the public for the use of self-medication. The term representative means a representative calling on members of health professions and other relevant decision makers in relation to the promotion of medicines. The term promotional aid means a non-monetary gift made for a promotional purpose. The term healthcare organisation means either a healthcare, medical or scientific association or organisation such as hospital, clinic, foundation, university or other teaching institution or learned society whose business address, place of incorporation or primary place of operation is in Europe, or an organisation through which one or more health professionals or other relevant decision makers provide services. The term transfer of value means direct or indirect transfer of value, whether in cash, in kind or otherwise made, whether for promotional purposes or otherwise, in connection to the development or sale of medicines. A direct transfer value is made directly by a company for the benefit of the recipient. An indirect transfer of value is one made on behalf of the company for the benefit of the recipient or through an intermediate, or where the company knows or can identify the recipient will benefit from the transfer of value. Pharmaceutical companies must comply with all applicable codes, laws, regulations to which they are subject. Each company must appoint a senior employee to be responsible for ensuring that the company meets requirements of the code. Blimey, that's just clause one. Clause 1.2, replies intended for use in response to individual inquiries. An exception for replies made in response to individual inquiries for members of the health professions or other relevant decision makers relates to unsolicited inquiries only. An unsolicited inquiry is one without any prompting from the company. A solicited inquiry would be one where a company invites a person to make a request. For example, material offering further information to readers would be soliciting a request for that information. Placing documents on exhibition stands to an invitation to take them, neither can take benefit from this exemption. Clause 2. Direct to and reduction of confidence in the industry. Activities or materials associated with promotion must never be such as to bring discredit upon or reduce confidence in the pharmaceutical industry. That was easy. Clause 3. Marketing authorization. 3.1. Clause 3. Marketing authorization. 3.1. A medicine must not be promoted prior to the grant of a marketing authorization which permits its sale or supply. 3.2. The promotion of a medicine must be in accordance with the terms of its marketing authorization and must not be inconsistent with the particulars listed in its summary of product characteristics. Clause 4. Prescribing information and other obligatory information. 4.1. The prescribing information listed in Clause 4.2 must be provided in a clear and legible manner in all promotional material for a medicine except for abbreviated advertisements. The prescribing information must be positioned for ease of reference and must not be presented in a manner such that the reader has to turn the material around in order to read it, for example, by providing it diagonally or around the page borders. The prescribing information must form part of the promotional material and must not be separate from it. 4.2. The prescribing information consists of the following. The legal classification of the product. The cost, excluding VAT, of either the specified package of the medicine to which the advertisement relates or the specified quantity or recommended daily dose calculated by reference to any specified package of the product, except in the case where advertisements in the journals printed in the UK which have more than 15% of their circulation outside the UK and audiovisual advertisements and prescribing information provided in association with them. And the name of the medicine, which may be either brand name or non-proprietary name, a quantitative list of active ingredients using the approved names where such exist or other non-proprietary names. Alternatively, the non-proprietary name, if the product, if it is the subject of an accepted monograph. At least one authorised indication for use consistent with a summary of product characteristics. Succinct statement of the information in which summary of product characteristics relating to the dosage and method of use relevant to the indications quoted in the advertisement where not otherwise obvious the route of administration. A succinct statement of common adverse reactions likely to be encountered in clinical practice, serious adverse reactions, and precautions and contraindications relevant to the indications in the advertisement, giving, in an abbreviated form, the substance of the relevant information, the summary of product characteristics, together with a statement that prescribers should consult the summary of product characteristics in relation to other adverse reactions. Any warning issued by the Medicines Commission, the Commission on Human Medicines, the Committee on Safety of Medicines, or the Licensing Authority, which is required to be included in the advertisements. The number of relevant marketing authorization and the name and address of the holder of the authorization and the name and the address or the part of the business responsible for its sale and supply. The date the prescribing information was drawn up and last reviewed. The summary of product characteristics may be provided instead of these sections 1 to 8. If the summary of product characteristics is not used, then the information specified above in relation to sections 4, 5 and 6, which is required to be included in advertisements, must be placed in such a position in the advertisement that its relationship to the claims and indications for the product can be appreciated by the reader. Section 4.3. In addition to non-proprietary name of the medicine or the list of active ingredients using approved names where such exist must appear immediately adjacent to the most prominent display of the brand name in bold type of such a size that a lowercase x is no less than 2 millimetres in height or in type of such size that the non-proprietary name or list of active ingredient occupies a total area of no less than that taken up of the brand name. For electronic advertisements, the non-proprietary name of the medicine or the list of active ingredients as required in clause 4.3 must appear immediately adjacent to the brand name as it's his first appearance of the size, such that the information is readily available, readable. 4.4. In the case of digital materials such as advertisements in electronic journals, emails, electronic detail aids and such like, the prescribing information as required by clause 4.1 must be provided either by inclusion by digital material itself or by the way of a clear and prominent single click link. In the case of audiovisual materials such as films, DVDs and such like, and in the case of interactive data systems, the prescribing information may be provided either by way of a document which is made available to all persons to whom the material is shown or sent, or by inclusion on the audiovisual recording or in interactive data system itself. When the prescribing information is included in an interactive data system, instructions for accessing it must be clearly displayed. 4.6. In the case of promotional material included on the internet, there must be a clear, prominent statement as to where the prescribing information can be found. 4.7. In the case of a printed journal advertisement, where the prescribing information appears overleaf at either the beginning or the end of the advertisement, a reference to where it can be found must appear on the outer page of the other page of the advertisement in type such that the lower X is no less than 2 millimetres in height. 4.8. Promotional material other than advertisements appearing in professional publications must include the date on which the promotional material was drawn up or last revised. 4.9. All promotional material must include the prominent statement. Adverse events should be reporting. Reporting forms and information can be found at www.mhra.gov.uk/yellow card. Adverse events should also be reported to the relevant pharmaceutical company. 4.10. When required by the licensing authority, all promotional material must show an inverted black equilateral triangle to denote that additional monitoring is required in relation to adverse reactions. Summaries of product characteristics and package leaflets are excluded from the definition of promotion in the code by clause 1.2. However, it should be noted that EU legislation now requires the black triangle symbol to appear on summaries of product characteristics and on package leaflets. Obligatory explanatory wording is also required. Clause 5. Abbreviated advertisements. 5.1. Abbreviated advertisements are advertisements which are exempt from the requirements to include prescribing information for the advertised medicine, provided that they meet the requirements of this clause. 5.2. Abbreviated advertisements may only appear in professional publications, i.e. publications sent or delivered wholly or mainly to members of the health professions and or other relevant decision makers, a loose insert in such a publication cannot be an abbreviated advertisement. Abbreviated advertisements may contain only the information specified in clauses 5.4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. Abbreviated advertisements are not permitted in audiovisual material or in interactive data systems or on the internet, including journals on the internet. Abbreviated advertisements must be no longer than 420 square centimetres in size. Abbreviated advertisements must provide the following information in a clear and legible manner. The name of the medicine, which may be either the brand name or the non-proprietary name, the non-proprietary name of the medicine, or a list of the active ingredients using the approved names where such exist, at least one indication for use consistent with the summary of product characteristics, the legal classification of the product, any warning issued by the Medicines Commission, the Commission on Human Medicines, the Committee on Safety of Medicines, or the licensing authority which is required to be included in advertisements. The name and address of the holder of the marketing authorization, or the name and address of the part of the business responsible for its sale or supply. Abbreviated advertisements must include the statement, information about this product, including adverse reactions, precautions, contraindications, and method of use can be found at the address of the website referred to below, and state that prescribers are recommended to consult the summary of product characteristics before prescribing. The following information must be provided on the website referred to above. Either the information set out in clause 4.2 and 4.3. 4.3 must appear immediately adjacent to the most prominent display of the brand name in such size the information is readily readable, and the information about the cost is required by 4.2 need not to be included on the website where the abbreviated advertisement appears only in journals printed in the UK, which have more than 15% of the circulation outside the UK, or the summary of product characteristics. 5.5. In addition to non-proprietary name of the medicine or list of the active ingredients used, approved names where such exist must appear immediately adjacent to the most prominent display of the brand name in bold type, of such a size that the lowercase is no less than 2 millimetres in height, or in type, of such size that the non-proprietary name or the list of the active ingredient occupies a total area of no less than is taken up by the brand name. 5.6. In addition to abbreviated advertisements, must include the prominent statement, adverse events should be reported. Reporting forms and information can be found at www.mhra.gov.uk/yellow card. Adverse events should also be reported to Sanofi Genzyme. When required by the licensing authority, abbreviated advertisements must show an inverted black equilateral triangle to denote that additional monitoring is required in relation to adverse reactions. Abbreviated advertisements may, in addition, contain a concise statement consistent with the summary of product characteristics, giving the reason why the medicine is recommended for the indication or indications given. Marketing authorization numbers and references must not be included in abbreviated advertisements. Clause 6, Journal Advertising, 6.1. Where the pages of a two-page advertisement are not facing, neither must be false or misleading when read in isolation. 6.2. No advertisement taking the form of a loose insert in a journal may consist of more than a single sheet of a size no larger than the page of the journal itself, printed on one or both sides. 6.3. No issue of a journal may bear the advertising for a particular product on more than two pages. Clause 7. Information, claims and comparisons. 7.1. Upon reasonable request, a company must promptly provide members of the health professions and other relevant decision makers with accurate and relevant information about the medicines which the company markets. 7.2. Information, claims and comparisons must be accurate, balanced, fair, objective and unambiguous, and must be based on up-to-date evaluation of all the evidence and reflect that evidence clearly. They must not mislead either directly or by implication, by distortion, exaggeration or undue emphasis. Material must be sufficiently complete to enable the recipient to form their own opinion of the therapeutic value of the medicine. 7.3. A comparison is only permitted in promotional material if it is not misleading, medicines or services for the same needs or intended for the same purpose are compared. One or more material, relevant, substantial, and representative features are compared. No confusion is created between the medicine advertised and that of the competitor, or between the advertiser's trademarks, trade names, other distinguishing marks, and those of a competitor. The trademarks, trade names, other distinguishing marks, medicines, services, activities, or circumstances of a competitor are not discredited or disnegated. No unfair advantage is taken of the reputation of the trademark, trade name, or other distinguishing marks of a competitor. Medicines or services are not presented as imitations or replicas of goods or services bearing a competitor's trademark or trade name. 7.4. Any information, claim, or comparison must be capable of substantiation. 7.5. Substantiation for any information, claim, or comparison must be provided as soon as possible, and certainly within 10 working days at the request of the members of the health professions or other relevant decision makers. The validity of indications approved in the marketing authorization can be substantiated by provision of the summary of the product characteristics. 7.6. When promotional material refers to published studies, clear reference must be given. 7.7. When promotional material refers to data on file, the relevant part of this data must be provided without delay at the request of the members of the health professions or other relevant decision makers. 7.8. All artwork, including illustration, graphs, and tables, must conform to the letter and the spirit of the code. And when taken from published studies, a reference must be given. Graphs and tables must be presented in such a way as to be clear, fair, balanced view of the matters which they deal, and must not be included unless they are relevant to the claims or comparisons being made. Information, 7.9. Information and claims about the adverse reactions must reflect available evidence or be capable of substantiation by clinical experience. It must not be stated that the product has no adverse reactions, toxic hazards, or risks of addiction or dependency. The word safe must not be used without qualification. 7.10. Promotion must encourage the rational use of a medicine by presenting it objectively and without exaggerating its properties. Exaggerating or all-embracing claims must not be made, and superlatives must not be used except for those limited circumstances where they relate to the clear fact about a medicine. Claims should not imply that a medicine or an active ingredient has some special merit, quality, or property unless this can be substantiated. 7.11. The word new must not be used to describe any product or presentation which has been generally available or any therapeutic indication which has been promoted for more than 12 months in the UK. Clause 8, disparaging references. 8.1. The medicines, products, and activities of other pharmaceutical companies must not be disparaged. The health professions and the clinical and scientific opinions of health professionals must not be disparaged. Clause 9. High standards, format, suitability and causing offence. Sponsorship. 9.1. High standards must be maintained at all times. 9.2. All material and activities must recognise the special nature of medicines and the professional standing of the audience to which they are directed and must not be likely to cause offence. 9.3. The name, or photograph of the member of the health profession must not be used in any way that is contrary to the conventions of that profession. 9.4. Promotional material must not imitate the devices, copy, slogan, or general layout adopted by other companies in a way that is likely to mislead or confuse. 9.5. Promotional materials must not include any reference to the Commission on Human Medicines, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or the Licensing Authority unless this is specifically required by the Licensing Authority. 9.6. Reproductions of official documents must not be used for promotional purposes unless permission has been given in writing by the appropriate body. 9.7. Extremes of format, size and cost of material must be avoided. Informational or educational materials must be inexpensive, directly relevant to the practice of medicine or pharmacy and directly beneficial to the care of patients. 9.8. Postcards and other exposed mailings, envelopes or wrappers must not carry matter which might be regarded as advertising to the public, contrary to Clause 26.1. 9.9. The telephone, text messaging, email, telemessages, facsimile, automated calling systems and other electronic data communications must not be used for promotional purposes, except with the prior permission of the recipient. Any unsolicited inquiry received by email or unsolicited inquiry received by post, which includes an email address, can be responded by email without specific permission, consent to do so being implied in such circumstances. There is no need for information to inform recipients as to how to unsubscribe to an email response to an inquiry. Material relating to medicines and their uses, whether promotional or not, and information relating to human health or disease which is sponsored by a pharmaceutical company must clearly indicate that it has been sponsored by that company. The only exception to this is market research material, which need not reveal the name of the company involved but must state that it is sponsored by a pharmaceutical company. Clause 9.9. When promotion is carried out remotely, such as by telephone call, web chat or other online calls, prior permission from the recipient must be obtained in advance or at the start of the contact or call. In setting up the contact or call, full details must be given of the company and the caller represents, their role and their purpose of the call. Arrangements made to discuss a specific product should be adhered to. Clause 10, provision of reprints and the use of quotations. 10.1. Reprints of articles in journals must not be provided unsolicited unless the articles have been refereed. 10.2. Quotations from medical and scientific literature or from personal communications must be faithfully reproduced, except where adaptation or modification is required in order to comply with the code, and must accurately reflect the meaning of the author. The precise source of the quotation must be identified. 10.3. Quotations relating to medicines taken from public broadcasts, for example on radio and television, and from private occasions such as medical conferences or symposia, must not be used without the formal permission of the speaker. 10.4. The utmost care must be taken to avoid ascribing claims or views to authors when these no longer represent the current views of the authors concerned. Supplementary information to 10.1. The provision of an unsolicited reprint of an article about a medicine constitutes promotion of that medicine, and that all relevant requirements of the code must therefore be observed. particular attention should be paid to the requirements of Clause 3. When providing an unsolicited reprint of an article about a medicine, it should be accompanied by prescribing information. Care should be taken in quoting from any study or the like to ensure that it does not mislead as to its overall significance. Attention is drawn to the provision of Clause 7.6, which requires that when promotional material refers to published studies, clear references must be given to where they can be found. Clause 12, disguised promotion. 12.1, promotional material and activities must not be disguised. 12.2, market research activities, clinical assessments, post-marketing surveillance and experience programs, post-authorization studies, including those that are retrospective in nature and the like, must not be disguised as promotion. They must be conducted with the primarily scientific or educational purpose. Clause 13, clinical trials and non-interventional studies of marketed medicines. This one's a big one. Oh, right, 13.1. Companies must disclose details of clinical trials in accordance with the joint position on the disclosures of clinical trial information via clinical trial registrants and databases and the joint position on the publication of clinical trials results in the scientific literature. 13.2. A non-interventional study of a marketed medicine is defined as a study where the medicine is prescribed in the usual manner in accordance with the terms of its marketing authorization. The assignment of the patient to a particular therapeutic strategy is not decided by a study protocol, but falls within current practice, and the prescription of the medicine is clearly separated from the decision to include the patient in the study. No additional diagnostic or monitoring procedures are applied to the patients, and epidemiological methods are used for the analysis of collected data. 13.3. Companies must publish the summary details and results of non-interventional studies of marketed medicines in a manner consistent with their parallel obligations with respect to clinical trials. Non-interventional studies are that prospective in nature and involve the collection of patient data must be conducted for scientific purpose. They must comply with the following criteria. There must be a written protocol and written contracts between health professionals and the institutes at which the study will take place and the pharmaceutical company sponsoring the study, which specify the nature of the services to be provided and the payment for those services. Any remuneration must be reasonable and reflect the fair market value of work. In countries where ethics committees are prepared to review such studies, the study protocol must be submitted to the ethics committee for review. Data protection legislation must be complied with. The study must not constitute an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. The company's scientific service must approve the protocol and must supervise the conduct of the study. The study results must be analysed and summaries must be made available within a reasonable period of time to the company's scientific service, which service shall maintain records of such reports. The summary report should be sent to health professionals who participated in the study. If the study results are important for the assessment of benefit versus risk, the summary report should be immediately forwarded to the relevant competent authority. Sales representatives may only be involved in administrative capacity, and such involvement must be under the supervision of the company's scientific service, which will also ensure that the representatives are adequately trained for the role. Such involvement must not be linked to the promotion of any medicine. Just supplementary information on Clause 13. Companies must include on the homepage of their website information as to where details of their clinical trials can be found. Details about clinical trials must be limited to factual and non-promotional information. Such information must not constitute promotion to health professionals, other relevant decision makers, or the public. Clause 14, certification. 14.1, promotional material must not be issued unless its final form, to which no subsequent amendments will be made, has been certified by one person on behalf of the company in the manner provided for by this clause. This person must be a registered medical practitioner or a pharmacist registered in the UK, alternatively, in the case of a dental product, a registered dentist. The person certifying on behalf of the company must not be the person responsible for developing or drawing up the material. 14.2. All meetings involving travel outside the UK where the UK company funds UK delegates must be certified in advance in a manner similar to that provided by Clause 14.1. In addition, all meetings involving travel outside the UK that are wholly or mainly for UK delegates must also be certified in advance in a manner similar to that provided by Clause 14.1. 14.3. The following must be certified in advance in a manner similar to that of 14.1. Educational material for public or patients issued by companies which relates to diseases or medicines but is not intended as promotion for those medicines. Materials relating to working with patient organisations as described in Clause 27 and its supplementary information. Material relating to joint working between the NHS and pharmaceutical industry as described in Clause 20 and its supplementary information. Material relating to patient support programmes involving the provision of health professionals of items to be passed on to patients described in 18.2. and its supplementary information. Non-promotional material for patients or health professionals relating to the provision of medical and educational goods and services, including relevant internal company instructions as described in Clause 19.1 and Paragraph 8 of its supplementary information. 14.4. The names of those nominated signatories as set out in 14.1 together with their qualifications shall be notified in advance of the Advertising Standards Unit, Vigilance and Risk Management of Medicines of the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency and to the Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority. The names and qualifications of designated alternative signatories must also be given. Changes in the names of nominees must be promptly notified. 14.5. The certificate for promotional material must certify that the signatory has examined the final form of the material to ensure that in his or her belief it is in accordance with the requirements of the relevant regulations relating to advertising and this code, is not inconsistent with the marketing authorisation and the summary of product characteristics, and is fair and truthful presentation of the facts about the medicine. The certificate for material covered by Clause 14.3 above must certify that the signatory has looked at the final form of the material to ensure that, in his or her belief, it complies with the code. Material which is still in use must be recertified at intervals of no more than 2 years to ensure that it continues to conform with the relevant regulations relating to advertising and the code. The certificate for meetings involving travel outside the UK must certify that the signatory has examined all the proposed arrangements for the meeting and that in his or her belief the arrangements are in accordance with the relevant regulations relating to advertising and the code. 14.6. Company shall preserve all certificates in relation to certificates for promotional material, the material in the form certified and the information indicating the persons to whom it was addressed. The method of dissemination and the date of first dissemination must also be preserved. In relation to certificates for meetings involving travel outside the UK, details of the programme, the venue, the reasons for using the venue, the audience, the anticipated and actual costs, and the nature of the hospitality and the like must also be preserved. Companies shall preserve certificates and relevant accompanying information for not less than 3 years after final use of the promotional material or the date of the meeting, and produce them on request from the MHRA or the PMCPA. The certificates for material covered by 14.3 above shall be preserved for no less than 3 years after the final use of material, and the company shall produce them on request from the MHRA or the PMCPA. Revisited supplementary information. If the company's only involvement is to support a speaker to present at a meeting and there is no pharmaceutical company involvement with the meeting at all, for example, a learned society meeting, then neither certification nor examination is required. Clause 15, representatives. Representatives must be given adequate training and have sufficient scientific knowledge to enable them to provide full and accurate information about the medicines which they promote. 15.2. Representatives must at all times maintain a high standard of ethical conduct in the discharge of their duties and must comply with all relevant requirements of the code. 15.3. Representatives must not employ any inducement or subterfuge to gain an interview. No fees should be paid or offered for the grant of an interview. 15.4. Representatives must ensure that the frequency, timing and duration of calls on health professionals and other relevant decision makers in hospitals and NHS and other organisations, together with the manner in which they are made, do not cause inconvenience. The wishes of individuals on whom representatives wish to call and the arrangements in force at any particular establishment must be observed. 15.5. In an interview or when seeking an appointment for one, representatives must at the outset take reasonable steps to ensure that they do not mislead as their identity or that of the company they represent. 15.6. Representatives must transmit forthwith to the scientific service referred to in 25.1 any information which they receive in relation to the use of the medicines which they promote, particularly reports of adverse reactions. 15.7. Representatives must be paid a fixed basic salary and any additional proportional to sales of medicines must not constitute an undue proportion of their remuneration. 15.8. Representatives must provide or have available to provide, if required, a copy of the summary of product characteristics of each medicine for which they promote. 15.9. Companies must prepare detailed briefing material for medical representatives on the technical aspects of each medicine which they will promote. A copy of such material must be made available to the MHRA and the PMCPA on request. Briefing material must comply with the relevant requirements of the code, in particular, is subject to certification requirements of Clause 14. Briefing material must not advocate either directly or indirectly any course of action which would be likely to lead to a breach of the code. 15.10. Companies are responsible for the activities of their representatives if these are within the scope of their employment, even if they are acting contrary to the instructions which they have been given. Supplementary information. Attention is drawn to the provision of Clause 9.9, which prohibit the use of telephone, text messages, email, telemessages and faxes for promotional purposes, except without prior permission of the recipient. Frequency and the manner of calls on doctors and other prescribers. 15.4. Companies should arrange that intervals between visits do not cause inconvenience. The number of calls made on a doctor or other prescriber by a representative each year should not normally exceed 3 on average. This does not include the following, which may be additional to those 3 visits: attendance at group meetings, including audio-visual presentations and the like, a visit which is requested by a doctor other than the prescriber or the prescriber to call, which is made in order to respond to a specific inquiry, and a visit to follow up a report of an adverse reaction. Supplementary information. Donations in lieu of hospitality are unacceptable, as they are inducements for the purpose of holding a meeting. If hospitality is not required at a meeting, there is no obligation or right to provide some benefit or an equivalent value. Provision of summary product characteristics. The requirement to provide an SMPC can be met by the provision of an electronic copy if the recipient agrees. Clause 16, training. 16.1. All relevant personnel, including representatives and members of staff and others retained by way of contract, concerned in any way with the preparation or approval of material or activities covered by the code, must be fully conversant with the code and the relevant laws and regulations. 16.2. All personnel and others retained by way of contract must be fully conversant with the pharmacovigilance requirements relevant to their work and must be documented. 16.3. Representatives must take an appropriate examination within their first year of employment as a representative and must pass it within 2 years of starting such employment. To be acceptable, an examination must have been accredited to at least a level 3 by an external awarding body recognised by Ofqual. An appropriate examination for medical representatives is one that requires a broad understanding of the body systems, diseases, treatments and the developments of new medicines and the structure and function of the NHS and the pharmaceutical industry. Such examination must be a diploma, at least 37 credits or equivalent learning hours. An appropriate examination for generic sales representatives is one that requires a broad understanding of body structures, the structure, systems and function of the NHS and pharmaceutical industry. Such examination must be a certificate, at least 13 credits or equivalent learning hours. An appropriate examination can be either the relevant ABPI examination for medical and generic sales representatives, or an examination of at least the same standard as the ABPI examinations and covering similar content. 16.4. Details of the numbers of representatives who have passed an examination, together with the examination status of others, must be provided to the PMCPA on request. Clause 17, provision of medicines and samples. 17.1. Samples of a product may be provided only to a health professional qualified to prescribe that product. They must not be provided to other relevant decision makers. 17.2. No more than 4 samples of a particular medicine may be provided to an individual health professional during a course of a year. Samples of a particular medicine may be provided to health professionals for no longer than 2 years after the health professional first requests samples of it. Notwithstanding the above, when a new medicine is marketed, which is an extension of an existing product, samples of a new medicine can be provided as above. A new medicine is in the context of the product for which a new marketing authorization has been granted, either following the initial application or following an extension application for the new indication that includes new strengths or dosage forms. Extension of a marketing authorization to include additional strengths or dosage forms for existing indications or to include additional pack sizes is not regarding as leading to new medicines. 17.3. Samples may only be supplied in response to written requests which have been signed and dated. An electronic signature is applicable. Acceptable. 17.4. A sample of a medicine must be no larger than the smallest presentation of the medicine on the market in the UK. 17.5. Each sample must be marked free medical sample, not for resale, or words to that effect, and must be accompanied by a copy of the SMPC. 17.6. The provision of samples is not permitted for any medicine which contains a substance listed in any of the Schedules 1, 2, 4 of the Narcotic Drugs Convention, where the medicine is not preparation listed on Schedule 3, that convention, or substance listed to any Schedules of 1 to 4 in the Psychotropic Substances Convention. 17.7. Companies must have adequate systems of control and accountability for samples which they distribute and for all medicines handled by representatives. Systems must clearly establish for each health professional the number of samples supplied in accordance with Clause 17.2. 17.8. Medicines which are sent by post must be packed so that they can be reasonably secure against being opened by young children. No unsolicited medicine must be sent through the post. 17.9. Medicines may not be sold or supplied to members of the public for promotional purposes. 17.10. Samples must not be provided simply as an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. Samples must not be given to the sole purpose of treating the patient. Samples must not be given for the sole purpose of treating patients. Not sure what a sample's for then. A definition of a sample. Supplementary information for Clause 17. A sample is a small supply of a medicine provided to health professionals so that they can familiarise themselves with it and then acquire experience in dealing with it. A sample of a medicine may be provided only to health professionals qualified to prescribe that particular medicine. A small sample which is provided only for identification or similar purposes and which is not intended to be used in treatment may be provided to any health professional but is otherwise subject to the requirements of Clause 17. Titration packs, free goods and bonus stock provided to pharmacists and others are not samples. This is because they are not for the purpose described above. Titration packs are packs containing various strengths of medicine for the purpose of establishing a patient on an effective dose. The supply of a product which is not a medicine because it does not contain the active ingredient normally present is not regarded as the supply of a medicine, i.e. a fake tablet for show and tell. Clause 18. Prohibition of inducements and inappropriate payments, the provision of items for patients, healthcare professionals and other relevant decision makers, agreements to benefit patients such as outcome agreements and patient access schemes. 18.1. No gift, pecuniary advantage or benefit may be supplied, offered or promised to members of health professions or to other relevant decision makers in connection with the promotion of medicines or an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine, subject to the provisions of clauses 18.2 and 3. 18.2. Health professionals may be provided with items which are passed on to patients and which are part of formal patient support programs, the details of which have been appropriately documented and certified in advance as requirement by 14.3. The items provided must be inexpensive and directly benefit patient care. They may bear the name of the company providing them. They must not be given out at exhibition stands. They must not be given to administrative staff unless they are to be passed on to a health professional. 18.3. Health professionals and other relevant decision makers attending company-organised scientific meetings and conferences, promotional meetings and the like may be provided with inexpensive notebooks, pens and pencils for the use of those meetings. They must not bear the name of any medicine or any information about medicines, but may bear the name of the company providing them. If pens and pads are provided in conference bags at third-party organised meetings, then these must not include the names of the donor companies, the name of any medicine, or any information about medicines. Supplementary information for Clause 18. I'm going to go about package deals. Okay, so 18.1, package deals. 18.1 does not prevent the offer of package deals, which are commercial arrangements whereby the purchase of a particular medicine is linked to the provision of certain associated benefits as part of the purchase price, such as apparatus for administration, the provision of training on its use, or the services of a nurse to administer it. The transaction as a whole must be fair and reasonable and associated to benefit, but must be relevant to the medicine involved. 18.1, outcome or risk sharing agreements. 18.1 does not preclude the use of outcome or risk sharing agreements where a full or partial refund of the price paid for a medicine or some other form of recompense is due if the outcome of the use of the medicine in a patient fails to meet certain criteria. That is to say that a therapeutic effect does not meet expectations. Clear criteria as to when a refund or other recompense would be due must be settled in advance and set out in an agreement. Any refund or recompense must always go to the relevant NHS or other organisation and never to the individual HCP or practices, etc. 18.1, patient access schemes. Patient access schemes are acceptable in principle under the code, but they must be carried out in conformity with its requirements. The 2014 Pharmaceutical Price Regulation Scheme describes patient access schemes as schemes proposed by a pharmaceutical company and agreed with the Department of Health, with input from the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, aka NICE, in order to improve the cost effectiveness of a medicine and enable patients to receive access to cost-effective innovative medicines. Corresponding arrangements apply in the devolved nations. Promotional aids, 18.1. Gifts such as coffee mugs, stationery, computer accessories, diaries, calendars and the like are not acceptable. Gifts of items for use with patients in the clinic, surgery or treatment room, etc., such as surgical gloves, nail brushes, tongue depressors, tissues, and the like are also not acceptable. Items such as toys and puzzles intended for children to play with while waiting must not be provided. Gifts of items for use in the home or car are unacceptable. Patient support items. This is supplementary information for 18.2. Although items which are to be passed on to patients may not be given out at exhibition stands, they may be exhibited and demonstrated on stands and requests for them accepted in later delivery. Patient support items may be provided to HCPs by representatives during the course of a promotional call, and representatives may deliver such items when they are requested by HCPs, but for example, by reply paid cards. Examples of items which might be acceptable include peak flow meters as part of a scheme for patients and readings, a pedometer for exercise, provided that they have been appropriately documented and certified in advance as required by 14.3. In limited circumstances, patient support items may be made available for the use of HCPs, even though they are not to be passed on to patients to keep them. This is where their purpose is to allow patients to gain experience in using their medicines whilst under the supervision of an HCP. Examples include inhalation devices with no active ingredient and devices intended to assist patients to learn how to self-inject. An inexpensive item, one that has cost the donor, the company, no more than £6, excluding VAT, is what is an expensive gift. The perceived value to the HCP and the patient must be similar. Items given to patients. Companies cannot run or sponsor competitions or quizzes for patients if prizes are offered to individuals. A competition for patients where the prizes were health related and were given to a clinic or similar might be acceptable. Boring. Notebooks, pens and pencils. No individual attendee should receive more than one notebook and one pen or pencil. Jeez. There's no fun in this anymore, is there? Notebooks, pens and pencils must not be given out from exhibition stands. Notebooks, pens and pencils provided at company-organised meetings may bear the name of the donor company, but not the name of the medicine or any information about medicines. Notebooks, pens and pencils included in conference bags at third-party organised events may not bear the names of the donor companies, nor any medicine, nor any information about bugger all. I'm so bored reading this. God, is it ever going to go into my head? Not very professional, sorry. Clause 19, medical and educational goods and services. 19.1, medical and educational goods and services which enhance patient care or benefit the NHS and maintain patient care can be provided subject to the provisions of Clause 18.1. They must not be provided to individuals for their personal benefit. Medical and educational goods and services must not bear the name of any medicine, but may bear the name of the company providing them. 19.2. The provision of medical and educational goods and services in the forms of donations, grants, benefits in kind to institutions, organisations or associations that are comprised of health professionals or that provide healthcare or conduct research are only allowed if they comply with 19.1 and are made for the purpose of supporting research. They are documented and kept on record by the company. They do not constitute an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. Details are publicly disclosed as donations, grants or benefits in kind or research and development transfers of value. Supplementary information for Clause 19. If medical generic representatives provide, deliver or demonstrate medical or educational goods and services, then this must not be linked to any way to any promotion of products. In order to comply with this stipulation, the representative must not carry out both activities at the same visit. Representatives may introduce a service by means of a brief description or delivering materials, but may not then instigate a detailed discussion about the service at the same time as the call as which products are promoted. The nature of the service provider, the person associated with the provision of medical and educational goods and services is important, i.e. the service provider, a medical or generic representative, or a service provider, some other appropriately qualified person, such as a sponsored registered nurse. If the goods and services require patient contact, for example, either directly or by identification of patients, from patient records and like, then medical and generic representatives must not be involved. Only an appropriately qualified person, for example, a sponsored registered nurse, not employed as a medical or generic representative, may undertake activities relating to patient contact or patient identification. Medical and generic representatives could provide administrative support in relation to the provision of a screening service, but must not be present during the actual screening and must not discuss or help interpret individual clinical findings. Clause 20, joint working. Joint working between one or more pharmaceutical companies and the NHS and others is acceptable, provided that this is carried out in the manner compatible with the code. Joint working must always benefit the patient. A formal written agreement must be in place, and an executive summary of the joint working agreement must be made publicly available before arrangements are implemented. Transfers of value made by companies in connection with joint working must be publicly disclosed. Supplementary information for Clause 20. The Department of Health defines joint working between the NHS and pharmaceutical industry as situations where, for the benefit of patients, one or more pharmaceutical companies and the NHS pool skills, experience and or resources for the joint development and the implementation of patient-centred projects, and share a commitment to successful delivery. Each party must make significant contribution and the outcomes must be measured. Treatments must be in line with nationally accepted clinical guidance where such exists. Joint working between the pharmaceutical industry and the NHS must be conducted in an open and transparent manner. Joint working must be for the benefit of patients, but is expected that the arrangements will also benefit the NHS and the pharmaceutical company or companies involved. Joint working differs from the situation where pharmaceutical companies simply provide funds for a specific event or program. The Department of Health has issued best practice guidance on joint working between the NHS and the pharmaceutical industry and other relevant commercial organisations. The Department of Health and the ABPI have jointly issued Moving Beyond Sponsorship, interactive toolkit for joint working between the NHS and the pharmaceutical industry. The ABPI has produced guidance notes on joint working between the pharmaceutical companies and the NHS and others for benefit of patients. The ABPI guidance refers to the requirements of the code, but goes well beyond them. When considering joint working, companies should take account of the guidance which has been issued by the ABPI and the Department of Health. Joint working is acceptable in principle, provided that it is carried out in the conformity with the code. In particular, it must not constitute an inducement to HCPs or other relevant decision makers to prescribe, supply, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. It must therefore always be ensured that any and all of the benefits of the joint working which are due to the NHS go not to individuals or practices but to the NHS and other organisations. A joint working agreement can be based on the use of a particular medicine of a company party to the agreement, but only if the requirements below are complied with and only if the parties have satisfied themselves that the use of the medicine will enhance patient care. Goods and services provided by the company as part of the joint working agreement must be relevant to the medicine's involvement, and agreement as whole must be fair and reasonable. Any goods and services provided by the company must themselves contribute to patient care. A written agreement must cover the following points: the name of the joint working project, the parties to which the agreement, the date, the term of the agreement, the expected benefits for patients, the NHS and the pharmaceutical company. Patient benefits should always be stated first, and patient outcomes should be measured. An outline of financial arrangements, the roles and responsibilities of the NHS and the pharmaceutical company, and how the success of the project will be measured, when and by whom, and all aspects input should be included. The planned publication of any data outcomes. There's a lot of things here. Clause 21. Clause 20, disclosure. The information required by Clause 20 as to transfers of value must be publicly disclosed in relation to transfers of value made in 2015 and each calendar year thereafter, giving in each case a financial amount of value and the amount of the recipient, the name of the recipient. Companies must ensure that the amount spent on joint working projects is made public, irrespective of whether the value transferred to a health organisation or some other funding model is used. Disclosure must be carried out in accordance with Clause 24. Clause 21. Relationships and contracts with certain organisations. Contracts between companies and institutions, organisations or associations of health professionals under which such institutions, organisations or associations provide any type of services on behalf of companies or any other type of funding by the company not otherwise covered by the code are allowed only if such services comply with Clause 19.1 or are provided for the purpose of supporting research and do not constitute an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. Clause 22, meetings, hospitality and sponsorship. 22.1. Companies must not provide hospitality to members of the HCPs and other relevant decision makers except in association with scientific meetings, promotional meetings, scientific congress and other such meetings and training. Meetings must be held in appropriate venues conducive to the main purpose of the event. Hospitality must be strictly limited to the main purpose of the event and must not be secondary to the purpose of the meeting, i.e. subsistence only. The level of subsistence offered must be appropriate and not out of proportion to the occasion. The cost involved must not exceed the level which recipients would normally adopt when paying for themselves. It must not extend beyond members of HCPs or other relevant decision makers. 22.2. The cost of a meal, including drinks, provided by way of subsistence, must not exceed £75 per person, excluding VAT and gratuities. 22.3. Payments may not be made to doctors or groups of doctors, to other prescribers or others directly or indirectly for rental for rooms to be used for meetings. 22.4. When meetings are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, that fact must be disclosed in all of the papers relating to the meetings and in any published proceedings. The declaration of sponsorship must be sufficiently prominent to ensure that readers are aware of that from the outset. 22.5. Pharmaceutical companies must publicly disclose financial details of sponsorship of UK professionals and other relevant decision makers in relation to attendance at meetings. Sponsorship in the context includes registration fees and the cost of accommodation and travel both inside and outside the UK. Supplementary information for meetings and hospitality. The payment of reasonable honoraria and reimbursement out-of-pocket expenses, including travel for speakers, advisory board members and the providers of other professional services, is permissible. The arrangements for meetings must comply with Clause 22.1 with regard to hospitality and venues. As with any meeting, it should be the programme that attracts delegates and not the associated hospitality or venue. Certification of meetings. Pharmaceutical companies must ensure that all meetings which are planned are checked to see that they comply with the code. Companies must have written documents that set out their policies on meetings and hospitality and the associated allowable expenditure. In addition, meetings which involve travel outside the UK must formally be certified as set out in Clause 14.1. payment of room rental. This provision does not preclude the payment of room rental to postgraduate medical centres and that like. Payment of room rental to doctors or groups of doctors or to other prescribers is not permissible, even if such payment is made to equipment funds or patient comfort funds and the like, or charities or companies. Clause 23, the use of consultants. 23.1. Health professionals and other relevant decision makers may be used as consultants and advisors, whether in groups or individually, for services such as speaking at the scientific meetings, involvement in medical scientific studies, clinical trials, or training services, participation at advisory board meetings, and participation in market research where such participation involves remuneration and or travel. The arrangements which cover these genuine consultancy or other services must, to the extent relevant to the particular arrangement, fulfil the following criteria. A written contract or agreement must be agreed in advance of the commencement of the services, which specifies the nature of the services to be provided and the basis for payment of those services. A legitimate need for the services must be clearly identified in advance of requesting the services and entering into arrangements with the prospective consultants. The criteria for selecting consultants must be directly related to the identified need, and the persons responsible for selecting the consultants must have the expertise necessary to evaluate whether the particular consultants meet those criteria. The number of consultants retained must not be greater than the number reasonably necessary to achieve the identified need. The contracting company must maintain records concerning and make appropriate use of the services provided by consultants. The hiring of the consultant to provide the relevant service must not be an inducement to prescribe, supply, administer, recommend, buy or sell any medicine. The compensation for the services must be reasonable and reflect the fair market value of the services provided. In this regard, token consultancy arrangements must not be used to justify compensating health professionals and other relevant decision makers. In their written contracts or agreements with consultants, companies must include provisions regarding the obligation of the consultant to declare that he or she is a consultant to the company whenever he or she writes or speaks in public about a matter that is subject to of the agreement or any other issue relating to that company. Similarly, companies that employ on part-time basis health professionals that are still practicing their profession must ensure that such persons are obliged to declare their employment arrangements with the company whenever they write or speak in public about the matter which they are subject to the employment or other issue relating to that company. 23.2. Pharmaceutical companies must publicly disclose details of the fees paid to consultants in the UK or to their employers on their behalf for certain services rendered by them, such as chairing and speaking at meetings, assistance with training and participation in advisory boards, etc. It includes payments to consultants in relation to research and development work, including the conduct of clinical trials. 23.3. In addition to the information required to be made public by Clause 23.2, companies must publicly disclose details of payments made to consultants in relation to market research, unless the company concerned is not aware of the identities of those participating in the market research. 23.4. Fees, expenses and the like due to consultants in relation to 23.2 and 3 must be disclosed whether paid directly to them or to their employers or to healthcare organisation or companies or charities. Clause 24, transfers of value to health professionals and healthcare organisations. 24.1. Companies must document and publicly disclose certain transfers of value made directly or indirectly to health professionals and healthcare organisations located in Europe. 24.2. The transfers of value covered by Clause 24.1 are joint working in accordance with Clause 20, donations, grants and benefits to in-kind provided to institutions, organisations and associations in accordance with Clauses 19.1 and 19.2. Contracts between companies and institutions, organisations and associations in accordance with Clause 21. Sponsorship of attendance by health professionals and other relevant decision makers at meetings in accordance with 22.5. Fees and expenses paid to health professionals and other relevant decision makers or their employers on their behalf in accordance to 23.2, 23.3 and 23.4. Contributions towards the cost of meetings paid to healthcare organisations or third parties managing events on their behalf, which may include sponsorship of health professionals by the way of registration fees, accommodation and travel. 24.3. Clause 24.1 does not apply to transfers of value to patient organisations. These transfers of value are covered under clauses 27.7 and 27.8. Disclosures must be made annually in respect of each calendar year. Disclosure must be in the first 6 months after the end of the calendar year in which the transfers of value were made. The information disclosed must remain in the public domain for at least 3 years from the time of disclosure. 24.6. Companies must document all disclosures and retain the records for at least 5 years after the end of each calendar year to which they relate. The different categories of transfer value to individual health professionals can be aggregated on a category by category basis, provided that itemised disclosure would be made available upon request to the relevant recipient or the relevant recipient authorities. Payments to healthcare organisations are required to be disclosed on a per activity basis. 24.8. Where a transfer of value is made to a health professional indirectly via a healthcare organisation, such a transfer should be disclosed once only, preferably as being a transfer to the health professional. 24.9. Where recipients of transfers of value cannot be identified for legal reasons, the amount of attributable to such transfers must be disclosed on an aggregate basis. The number of recipients involved must be stated together with the percentage of all recipients that they represent and the aggregate amount attributable to transfers of value to such recipients. Oh, that's easy to digest, isn't it? 24.10. Each company providing transfers of value must publish a note summarising the methodologies used by it by preparing the disclosure and identifying each category of transfer value. The note including a general summary and or country of specific considerations must describe the recognition methodologies applied and should include the treatment of multi-year contracts, VAT and other tax aspects, currency aspects and other issues relating to the timing and the amount of transfers of value for the purposes of this code. Clause 25, Scientific Services. 25.1. Companies must have a scientific service to compile and collate all information, whether received from medical representatives or from any other source, about the medicines which they market. 25.5. No, it's not. 25.2. Companies must also have scientific service to deal with the approval and supervision of non-interventional studies. This scientific service must include a registered medical practitioner or a pharmacist registered in the UK who will be responsible for the oversight of the non-interventional studies, including the review of any responsibilities relating to such studies, particularly those given to medical representatives. That person must state in writing that he or she has examined the protocol relating to the non-interventional study and that his or her belief in its accordance with the requirements of the code. Clause 26, relations with the public and the media. Prescription only medicines must not be advertised to the public. This prohibition does not apply to vaccination campaigns carried out by companies and approved by the health ministers. 26.2. Information about prescription only medicines, which is made available to the public either directly or indirectly, must be factual and presented in a balanced way. It must not raise unfounded hopes of successful treatment or be misleading with respect to the safety or of the product. Statements must not be made for the purpose of encouraging members of the public to ask their healthcare professional to prescribe a specific prescription only medicine. 26.3. Only material which relates to a medicine and which is intended for patients taking that medicine must include the statement below or similar one, reporting side effects. If you get any side effects, talk to your doctor, pharmacist or nurse. This includes any possible side effects not listed in the package leaflet. You can also report side effects directly via the yellow card scheme at www.mhra.gov.uk/yellow card. By reporting side effects, you can help provide more information on the safety of this medicine. When the material relates to a medicine which is subject to additional monitoring, an inverted black equilateral triangle must be included on it together with the statement below or a similar one. This medicine is subject to additional monitoring. This will allow quick identification of new safety information. You can help by reporting any side effects you may get. See www.mhra.gov.uk/yellow card for how to report side effects. 26.4. Requests from individual members of the public for advice on personal medical matters must be refused, and the inquirer recommended to consult his or her own doctor or other prescriber or health professional. 26.5. Companies are responsible for information about their products which is issued to the public relation to which is issued by their public relations agencies. Clause 27, relationships with patient organisations. 27.1. Pharmaceutical companies can interact with patient organisations or any other organisations such as disability organisations, carer or relative organisations and consumer organisations to support their work, including assistance in the provision of appropriate information to the public, patients and carers. Companies must respect the independence of patient organisations. 27.2. When working with patient organisations, companies must ensure that the information of the company is made clear and that all the arrangements comply with the code. This includes the need to declare sponsorship in relation to 27.9 and the prohibition on advertising prescription-only medicines to the public, 26.1. The requirements of the clause 22, which covers meetings for health professionals and other relevant decision makers, also apply to pharmaceutical companies supporting patient organisation meetings, 27.3. Companies working with patient organisations must have in place a written agreement setting out exactly what has been agreed, including funding in relation to every significant activity or ongoing relationship. 27.4. No company may require that it is to be the sole funder of a patient organisation or any of its programmes. 27.5. A company must not make public use of a patient organisation's logo or proprietary material without the organisation's written agreement. In seeking such permission, the specific purpose and the way in which the logo or material will be used must be clearly stated. 27.6. A company must not seek to influence the text of patient organisation material in a manner favourable to its own commercial interests. This does not preclude a company from correcting factual inaccuracies. 27.7. Each company must make publicly available at national or European level a list of patient organisations to which it provides financial support and or significant indirect non-financial support, which must include a description of the nature of the support that is sufficiently complete to enable the average reader to form an understanding of the significance of the support. The list of organisations being given support must be updated at least once a year. The published information must include the monetary value of financial support and involve costs. For significant non-financial support that cannot be assigned a meaningful monetary value, the published information must describe clearly the non-monetary value that the organisation receives. 27.8. Contracts between companies and patient organisations which they provide any type of services to companies are only allowed if such services are provided for the purpose of supporting healthcare or research. Patient organisations may be engaged as experts and advisors for services such as participation at advisory board meetings and speaker services. The arrangements that cover consultancy or other services must, to the extent relevant to the particular arrangement, fulfil all of the following criteria. A written contract or agreement must be agreed in advance of the commencement of the services, which specifies the nature of the services to be provided and the basis for payment for those services. A legitimate need for the services must be clearly identified and documented in advance of requesting the services and entering the into arrangements. The criteria for selecting services must be directly related to the identified need of the persons responsible for relating the service, must have expertise necessary to evaluate whether the particular experts and advisors meet those criteria. The extent of the services must not be greater than is reasonably necessary to achieve the identified need. The contracting company must retain records concerning and make appropriate use of the services. The engaging of patient organisations must not be an inducement to recommend a particular medicine. The compensation for the services must be reasonable and not exceed the fair market value of the services provided. In this regard, token consultancy arrangements must not be used to justify compensating patient organisations. In their written contracts, the patient organisations, companies are strongly encouraged to include provisions regarding an obligation of the patient organisation to declare that they have been provided paid services to the company whenever those concerned write or speak in public about a matter that is subject of the agreement or any other issue relating to that company. Each company must make publicly available at a national or European level a list of patient organisations that it is engaged to provide significant contracted services, which must include description of the nature of the services, provided that is sufficient to complete to enable the average reader to form an understanding of the arrangement without the necessity to divulge confidential information. Companies must also make publicly available the total amount paid per patient organisation over the reporting period. The list of organisations engaged must be updated at least once a year. 27.9. Companies must ensure that their sponsorship is always clearly acknowledged from the outset. The wording of the declaration of sponsorship must accurately reflect the nature of the company's involvement. Clause 28, the Internet. 28.1. Promotional material about prescription-only medicines directed to a UK audience which is provided on the Internet must comply with all relevant requirements of the Code. 28.2. Information or promotional material about medicines covered by Clause 28.1, which is placed on the Internet outside the UK, will be regarded as coming within the scope of the Code if it was placed there by a UK company or an affiliate of a UK company, or at the instigation or with the authority of such company, and it makes specific reference to the availability or use of the medicine in the UK. 28.3. Information about medicines covered by clauses 28.1 and 2, which is provided on the internet and which is intended for members of the public, must comply with clause 26.2. A medicine covered by clause 28.1 may be advertised in a relevant independently produced electronic journal intended for healthcare professionals or other relevant decision makers which can be accessed by members of the public. 28.5. Public assessment reports, European or UK, summaries of product characteristics, package leaflets, and reference material for prescription-only medicines may be included on the internet and may be accessible by members of the public, provided they are not presented in such a way as to be promotional in nature. 28.6. It should be made clear when a user is leaving any of the company sites or site sponsored by the company, it is being directed to a site which is not that of the company. Clause 29. Compliance with undertakings. When an undertaking has been given in relation to a ruling under the code, the company concerned must ensure that it complies with that undertaking. That was a nice, easy one.